Morning. Confused yet? I am, but that's kind of my standard state of affairs. Well, good morning, all. Last week I didn't get to preach on Acts 1:8, which is where I was going to use that to build up to prepare for this week. So now I got to preach both sermons, and we'll be here for at least another hour and a half. And no, it's actually we're going to try to keep it short with the messages. We do have baptism this morning, so let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Luke chapter 8. 2 Luke, you said? That's the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start with the 26th verse. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He led us like sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was delivered of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you have written the truth so that we might know it. Lord, that you have given us instructions on what it is you would have us to do so that we might have work to do. Lord, that you have written about your love so that we might know its depth and experience it for ourselves. Father God, we pray right now for your Spirit to be present here this morning, that your truth and your word might be held up for all to see, so that we could proclaim to all who we meet the good news, the gospel, that Jesus is indeed the risen Savior. Now, Father, I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach this morning, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, and that the words I speak would be only your words, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. Father, we all come before you this morning to worship you and to know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Even before I was asked by Chris Johnson, he came up to me here a couple weeks ago, said, "Hey, I'd like to get baptized. Is that possible? I said, yeah. That's pretty much, not exact, but pretty close to our conversation. And even before that, this is the passage I had selected for this Sunday. The story of how Philip, one who was not one of the 12, the original apostles, was, but instead one who was later sent to go out and preach the gospel to all the people. And there he was. He's doing this. We see here, he's out preaching the gospel and being led of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saying, go here, go there. And he's being obedient. He's doing it. He's being a missionary. He's being a faithful Christian. He's being that truthful witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and ultimately Samaria and the ends of the earth. That great commission, that continuation of the love of Christ, of all the people of the world that we see throughout the whole Bible, we see drawn down and focused in the ministry of Philip. Now, what's really interesting is just how coincidental some of the things are that go on in the Bible. Isn't it just a coincidence? George is back there going, there is no coincidence. God is the one who plans everything. And yes, that's exactly it. We don't have coincidences here. You know, Isaiah, the very book that this man who went from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship, had gone there to worship and is now on his way back. Isaiah is the book that we read from a couple weeks ago and that he was reading from. But the passage we'd read was chapter 56. And there we see in verse 3 it says, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Now, eunuchs were not allowed within the temple to worship. This man could only come to the outer court. He couldn't have entered in. He could only go in those public areas that were open to anybody. Outside, he wasn't really allowed to enter into worship. No matter what his fervency, no matter what he said or did, they would have excluded him. Because he wasn't born a Jew. Second off, he was not whole. He'd been damaged. He'd been made a eunuch. As such, he was excluded at the temple. But yet he's not excluded from God's grace. He's not excluded from God's mercy. He is not excluded from God's love. We see that in Isaiah. And he went and he worshipped. Even though he had to worship from outside of the temple. And as he's coming back, remember now, Jesus is risen. He's been crucified. He's been in the grave. He has rose. And he's now ascended to heaven. He's given the Great Commission. He's told the disciples to go forth and to teach everyone. And we have that Great Commission passage in Matthew. Therefore, go, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. go and make disciples. Teaching them to obey all the commands of Jesus. And part of doing that is baptizing. Well, Philip goes and speaks to the Ethiopian eunuch because the Holy Spirit said, "This man, go talk to him." Now, I don't know if you thought about this, but how many of you tried to walk along with the hay wagon on Friday night? You know, hay wagon, you know, those horses walk at about 4 miles an hour. Now, 4 miles an hour doesn't sound like a whole lot until you try to maintain it yourself. 4 miles an hour on a treadmill is not a bad clip. It's not lightning fast. I mean, it's a 15-minute mile. Tell you what, that's faster than I go currently. And so, this horse, as it's a chariot, that means it's a horse-drawn cart of some sort, is walking along. And Philip's got to keep up. "Hi, how you doing?" Kind of a different kind of form of evangelism there, isn't it? Think about it. What's that you're reading? Because when people read back then, they read more out loud than silently. We read silently. But when they would read, they would read loud. So the eunuch would have been reading these passages from Isaiah aloud. And so that would... So Philip could then, "Hey, do you understand what it is you're reading?" Now, think about that comment for just a moment. You say, well, it's Ethiopian eunuch. He's a high official in Candace's court, the queen of Ethiopia. This guy's not by himself. He doesn't just have a driver. He probably has an armed guard. He's a high official. Traveling in a foreign land. He's not all by his lonesome. There are people with big swords and spears and such around him. And Philip, do you understand what you're reading? How dare you impugn that I did not understand what I'm reading? Hit that guy. That's the way that they dealt with it. I mean, if you're reading, I walked up and I said, "Hey, do you understand what it is you're reading?" Isn't that kind of little... How many of you would respond well to that? I didn't think so. Some people do. Most people don't. Well, apparently the Holy Spirit was doing His job in preparing the way. Because the Ethiopian eunuch, instead of saying, "Guards, get rid of this pest. I don't like him. Just beat him up and leave him behind that bush over there." Which they could have done with impunity. Instead he said, "Hey, come on up here. Join me. Join me up here." Obviously it must be a fairly large cart that's being... You know, we think of these little... things that we see in the movie Ben-Hur or something for a chariot, which is kind of like just a little racing chariot. Just remember, a racing chariot is probably not the same thing as one that's made for traveling cross-country. It's got to have room for the baggage. Got to have room for someplace to sit, because I'll guarantee you no government official is going to stand the whole ride. It's not like standing on the bus for the whole ride. No, they're going to have as comfy and cushy a seat as possible. It's the nature of being a government official. Okay, I'm being a little snarky, but... But somebody who's in powerful authority isn't going to stand for the whole trip. They're going to... Not if there's a chance to sit. And be comfortable. So he's up there reading. Obviously he's comfortable enough to be able to read while this is going on. So come on up here. Hasn't come up. Explain it to me. How can he? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And he read the passage and he said, can you explain this to me? Who's he talking about here? And Philip took that opportunity to tell him about the gospel of Jesus. Tell him about who Jesus is. Now, they get there. They're having this conversation. We don't know how long this is going on. Could be 15 minutes. It could be several hours. My guess, it's been a while that they've been talking together. For all I know, it could be days. We don't know. We're not given that information. What we do have is they're having a discussion. They're talking about it. They're sharing. And they come to a point where the eunuch looks and he says, hey, look, we got water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Baptized? Hold it. Time out here. You haven't attended membership class yet. You haven't taken a course. All we've been doing is talking a little bit about Jesus. For all I know, I don't even see in there where he said, have you received Jesus yet? Okay? He hasn't even asked two EE questions yet, as far as I know. If you were to die today, do you know where you would go? And what do you base that faith upon, sir? Those are the two EE questions, in case you were wondering. We don't have any of that here. All we have is they were having a discussion. But the discussion was in depth enough that this government official, this important man, understood that baptism was part and parcel with being a Christian. Baptism is that outward expression of the inward faith, which we are commanded to do as followers of Christ. See, this is commanded to do. It's not really an option. Again, I'm going to go back to Matthew. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What have I commanded you to do? I commanded you to go baptize people. No. The command really is to make disciples. Baptizing them and teaching them to obey is just the outward expression of being a disciple. Command is make disciples. I need to teach you to obey all the things that Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Love one another. Listen to the Father. Live according to His Word. What else are we told to do? We're told to do that one outward expression that says, stands up before the world and says, I am a Christian. How do you do that? By being baptized. This is the methodology. Baptism in and of itself does not confer salvation. Baptism is, again, the outward expression of the inward condition. Once you have said, Jesus is my God, I have turned from my sin and I have turned to Jesus, and I've received the salvation that He has for me. Okay? I'm not going to try to work my way into heaven. God's paid the bill. I'm going to accept the ticket. It comes with the one condition. That means Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. That means He's in charge of my life. And I say, yeah, that's what I want. I want Jesus to be in charge. I want to do what it is He's directing me to do. I want to follow Him all the days of my life. And baptism is how we're directed to express that to the world so that people know that we're Christians. Because baptism is generally done publicly. You take out, under the water. Now, it symbolizes several things. We have the symbolism of being washed clean. And we also have the symbolism of death and being buried and resurrected. And this court official from Ethiopia got all this. He said, he's read the word, he's had it explained to him. He looks and he sees water and he says, why should I not be baptized? And Philip doesn't give an excuse. Now we do have in some texts a verse 37, which is not in every text. Why? Because it's not in some of the older, more reliable manuscripts. We have a verse 37, which reads this. It says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's some contention as to whether or not that's a verse that's been added by copyists, added by people who wanted to make sure that we had this little caveat in there. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't really add anything that isn't already there in the text. It's implicit in what's going on. Philip is not going to baptize somebody who's not a disciple of Jesus. Got to make him a disciple. So you baptize him. We have three people today who have said that they wish to be recognized as disciples of Christ. And we're going to have baptism here in just a minute. And they're going to express the fact that here's water. Why should I not be baptized? So, Butch, if you'd come and lead us in special. And if you're going to be baptized, come.